The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. The preface is the prayer that we say just before we sing, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts." And it's the prayer just before the Eucharistic prayer. And there are five possible prefaces for the Easter season, two for Ascension and one for Pentecost. But in each of those eight prefaces, we are being told who we are, what we should be about, what we should be experiencing as Christians. So this is what we find in all eight of those prefaces. It says, "Therefore, overcome with paschal joy." We sing, "Holy, holy, holy." Overcome with paschal joy. I hate to say it, but I don't think I've ever been at Mass where I've seen anyone overcome with paschal joy. And yet the church is telling us from that preface that that should be a part of our experience, not just of Easter, but of every day, because we are believers in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're told that the resurrection of Jesus changed the course of history, and it did. It did, obviously. Before his death and resurrection, sin and death was fearfully proclaimed, and people didn't know what to do, how to go about their lives to be faithful. But after the resurrection, after the victory Jesus won over the power of sin and death, we became new creation. We were given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We became adopted children of the Father. We were given all these wonderful gifts so that we don't have to be afraid of anything, that we can live our lives courageously, so that we can be overcome with paschal joy. Because that should flow from our deep-seated belief that, in fact, God loves us so much, he became a human being, suffered and died, rose from the dead, so that we could live as the free sons and daughters of God. And that is what we see in our readings today. We always read from the Acts of the Apostles during the Easter season, and we find in today's reading that the people were so convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead, had destroyed the power of sin and death, that they willingly sold their property, gave the money to the leader so that they could share it with other people. Oh boy, that's courageous. That's faithful. And it also says every day they gathered to pray together, to eat together, to celebrate the Eucharist together, to listen to the teachings of the apostles. Every day. They were so on fire with their Paschal faith that they changed their lives. Everything was changed. Nothing was the same. Can we say that? Can we say that about our faith, that every day nothing is the same because there's always more to experience about God, about the love of God, about the call from God to be his disciples and to be truly free to do anything in his name? And in Peter's reading today, he talks about the people having a whole new outlook on life, and he talks about them rejoicing with an indescribable and glorious joy. Well, there again, have we ever experienced that indescribable and glorious joy which comes with knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Or are we, like the apostles, were kind of still locked up in a room, afraid to venture forth and to truly be joyful? We're told that joy is an example of the presence of God. In fact, St. Bernard of Clairvaux says, joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God. So can we say that we are joyful people? If a stranger came into our church during the celebration of the Eucharist, would he see joyful people? Would he encounter a room full of people who have this inexpressible, exultant joy? Who, again, as Peter says, even when they're eating with exultation. I'm not sure I've ever eaten with exultation, yet that's what the readings tell me should come as a result of our belief in the risen Lord. So when we compare ourselves to what went on in the early church, when we listen to the prayers of the church, and those are contemporaneous prayers, yes, they come from the past, but we're still praying them, when we hear that we should be overcome with Paschal joy, what are we doing to practice joy? Because joy is not a feeling, it's not a sense of happiness that comes over us, that comes and goes as an emotion. No, joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit, just as peace is. Jesus gives his apostles peace. He's giving them a gift. It's not about feeling peaceful. It's about recognizing that in Jesus Christ, there's no good reason to be anxious or afraid of anything. The same with joy. Because the Holy Spirit offers us the gift of joy doesn't mean I'm going to have this bubbling happiness each and every day, but rather I'm called to take that gift and to practice it, to discipline myself so that I am living a joyful life. And like anything, it takes practice. If I want to be a joyful person, I have to keep going back to my roots, the roots of my faith, and say, yes, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He did rise from the dead, and I'm going to express that joy in the way I greet other people, the way I speak to other people, the things that I do. And we are empowered by God to be a joyful people, or as we often say, an Easter people. Again, an Easter people are not those who are glum, who are down in the dumps, but are people who are constantly drawing our attention to something fantastic that happened 2,000 years ago, but is still alive, it's still happening in our lives, so that we only have to connect with it, so that we can practice, among other things, joy. So if we want to know joy, it's something we need to first and foremost accept from God, and then say to ourselves, what would it look like for me to be a joyful person? What would I have to change in my life? And that's really where it comes down to the rubber hits the road. What am I going to do to change my life? If the resurrection changed human history, how is it changing me? How is it changing me each and every day? Not just one day, not just another day, not just on Sunday, but every single day. How is it changing me, challenging me to change, and how am I changing? What am I doing differently? When the quarantine ends, are we going to go back to our normal lives? I think that's probably what will happen. And it's the same with our Easter joy. After Easter's over, do we go back to our regular Sundays? We call them ordinary Sundays. But nothing's ordinary. everything's extraordinary because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But again, are we Christians truly convinced that this happened, and are we willing to let it into our hearts? And are we willing to change? Are we willing, and people have done this even today, sold all their property, gave it to the poor, and then joined with other people living in community, sharing everything. That still happens today. Lay people, religious, monasteries, it's still happening. Do we meet with other people every day for prayer, to read the scriptures together? What are we doing to change our lives rather than expecting God to do all the work? Because really, God has done all the work. He's done the heavy lifting. He's made the changes necessary. And so it's up to us to say, yes, Lord, I believe, I want to change. I want to become more like you. I want to become more free. I want to take the peace that you offer me and live it. And not just live it for my sake, but to live it for other people and invite other people into the joy and the hope and the mercy and the peace of God. So these readings should challenge us. They should make us think, geez, you know, I really don't get it. I want to be overcome with paschal joy. I want this exuberance, this indescribable joy. I want it, and it's available to us. But we have to do the work to accept it and to practice it each and every day. So just as we have 40 days of Lent to kind of prepare for the 50 days of Easter, really every Sunday is a little Easter, every day is a little Easter, because we are living out of the victory of Jesus Christ over the power of sin and death. And so what are we doing to take that victory and actually embody it in our lives? What are we doing differently? What are we willing to change in our lives, to let go of, so that every day is a different day where we draw closer to the Lord, become more like Jesus, more free in proclaiming his goodness and rejoicing in the goodness of God? So, as always, we are called to ask ourselves, where am I in my walk with the Lord? Where do we want to be? When we read the scriptures, what are the scriptures suggesting to us? What are the prayers of the church indicating who I'm supposed to be and how I am supposed to be reacting as a Christian? And the more we do that, and the more we get together with like-minded people and we challenge one another to grow, yes, great things will happen. We'll be like Peter and John at the temple, and we'll be able to say to someone, stand up, you are healed. Because those graces, those gifts are still with us. But again, if we don't have the faith, the commitment, the conviction of our faith, then those things will not happen. So as we continue our Eucharist, let's pray that we will become truly a daily Easter person, that we will truly take that joy and practice living it, not only for ourselves, but for the sake of the world, to take it out into the world where people live in darkness and despair and who are waiting, because this is our call, waiting for us to come to them and share the good news of salvation.